As we pray together and read from a text we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let us pray. Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we give you thanks and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit, as we recognize you poured out your Spirit upon your church, beginning the movement that is church, a movement we long to be captured within even today. Father, we pray that our minds and our hearts are open to the ongoing work of your Spirit in us and through us. For Father, we know that when we sin, when our hearts get cold and hard, we know we push the Spirit away. And this morning we want to confess those sins. We want to repent from those times when we know your Spirit has been leading us and we've been resisting that leadership. Father, we know that your Spirit has called us to our neighbor and sometimes we've ignored. Your Spirit has called us into a ministry and sometimes we've said we're too scared. Father, we know your Spirit has even just called us to be faithful and good neighbors to those we live around, and instead we've kept to ourselves. So continue, O Holy Spirit, to break us free from our disobedience. Continue to set within us that fire that was imaged there in Acts chapter 2, a fire to warm our hearts to your call, a fire to burn within us the desire to share the good news near and far. But also, Father, we pray on this Pentecost Sunday that your Spirit would continue to lead us to walk with and toward those who among us who are hurting, those who are sick, Father, those who are facing challenges in relationships, those co-workers that we know who feel alone, those students that we sit around that no one else wants to be around. Father, continue to fill us with your Spirit that we may be your Pentecost people in the world even today. God, we know that Pentecost is given that the story of Jesus may be told near and far to the nations. We want to continue to live in that purpose as we send out mission teams this coming Saturday. But God, today above all, even on this Pentecost Sunday, it is for Jesus that we are most grateful, for his life, death, and resurrection, for the grace of the cross, the forgiveness of our sins, for the power of the resurrection at work in us even now. We celebrate today. Father, we celebrate the pouring of your Spirit upon us. Let us now be faithful in living by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, together we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stay in the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 2. We're going to read beginning in verse 5, picking up where we left off just a moment ago in the reading of that story. The disciples have been gathered together in the upper room. Gathered together in that upper room and doing as Jesus had instructed them to do, waiting patiently until power was poured upon them, till the gift of the Holy Spirit came to them. Really, for them to do anything else would have been disobedience. They needed to stay there and they needed to wait for the Spirit to be poured out. In Acts chapter 2, we see the story. The Spirit is poured into them. Tongues that looked like fire were all around them, and they began to speak in other languages, languages that were not their native tongue. And that's where we pick up now in verse 5 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at the sound that the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each, amazed and astonished, they asked, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?'
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Will you join me as we pray? Father, we hear your word to us again today. And our longing is that the word would continue to change us. And so as we hear truths that we know, help us to live in the truths that we know. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, on Pentecost Sunday, like Christmas and like Easter, many of you know this story, though I'm guessing that we don't know this story as well as we know the story at Christmas and at Easter. But Pentecost is the celebration of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church, the beginning of this movement that we call church. Now, in the Old Testament, Pentecost was a harvest celebration. It was the celebration, the festival of weeks. It was the celebration 50 days after Passover, hence the name Pentecost, meaning 50th, but 50 days after Passover, celebrating the beginning of the coming in of crops. But in the New Testament, it's the celebration now of the harvest work of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit leading the disciples to proclaim the gospel. And so you know this story. I'm not going to tell you anything new today. Rather, I'm going to remind you of the truth you already know, and then I'm going to challenge you to live in the truth that you already know. And that second part is usually the harder part, isn't it? We know the truth, but what does it mean to live in the truth we already know? And the truth that you already know is in the sermon title, and you've already seen that. The Holy Spirit has been poured into each of you. Each of you. No one is left out of Pentecost. No one is left out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the church. The Spirit does not bypass any follower of Jesus. Now, I think it's true that we can be more attuned or less attuned to the Spirit's work in our life. When we are stuck in sin, and then sin produces a kind of hardness of our hearts, we can be less attuned to the Holy Spirit's movement in our life. When we are living in repentance and humility, we can be more attuned to the Spirit's movement in our life. Right? When we get wrapped up in selfishness and in the world of me and what I want and what I need and how everything is supposed to revolve around me, we can be less attuned to the movement of the Holy Spirit all around us. But when we get out of ourselves, pay attention to our brother and sister in Christ, pay attention to our neighbor, to the person in need, we begin to live in the presence and the movement of the Holy Spirit around us. So we can be more or less attuned, and hopefully we're always leaning to being more attuned to the Spirit. But in either situation, nobody in Christ is without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does not bypass anybody. And Acts chapter 2 helps us see this truth that you know, in a couple of simple ways. The first one is Luke, who writes the Gospel of Luke and writes Acts. It's kind of a part one, part two of Luke's writing here. Luke lists off very specifically the places these Jews have come from to celebrate the Pentecost festival in Jerusalem. You see that there in verses 9, 10, and 11, all these places. Now listen, Luke could have very easily have said that a lot of Jews came from a lot of different places, and all of them heard the news of God's mighty acts and deeds in all of their languages. That would have made the point that the Spirit was poured out so that everybody could hear. But that's not the way Luke wrote the text. Look back again, if you will, in verse 8. And even before that, but in verse 8, we see, and how is it that each of us are hearing this news of Jesus Christ in our own language? How is it that each one of us standing here? And then Luke goes on to specifically name, probably not exhaustively, there may have been a few other people there, but specifically name who each of them are and where each of them are from. Because Luke is making the point that each of them have been invited into this gospel, invited into the kingdom. Right? The point is not only that everyone heard, but that each unique person from their unique place and their unique culture and their unique tribe and their unique language and their unique race and their unique ethnicity, that each one of them heard the gospel in their own unique language. I think from there we can make the sort of bigger biblical point, the bigger theological point, that the gospel of God's salvation that we see here at Pentecost is for each person. Each person's unique place and time and culture and language and tribe and family and ethnicity and race and nation and state and county and neighborhood. That the Spirit is poured out for this side of the tracks. And the Spirit is poured out for that side of the tracks. And the gospel of God's salvation in Jesus Christ said that neither one of those sides is better than the other. The Spirit is poured out so that every person you love needs to hear the gospel. But every person you don't love needs to hear the gospel as well. The Spirit is poured out on all the people you might call an ally. But it is equally poured out on any person you might name an enemy. The Spirit is poured out for everybody to hear the gospel. So the person you're longing to spend time with, the Spirit is poured out in each of you so that they can hear the gospel. The person you don't want to spend another single minute with, the Spirit is poured out so that they can hear the gospel as well. What Pentecost shows us is this unlimited reach of the Spirit of God, the unlimited love of God to be poured out into the world and to be poured out in each of you. In each of you. Nobody's bypassed at Pentecost. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not yet following Jesus, you think, well, I guess I'm not really in this text. I'm not really in the story. But wait a minute, you are. Right? Because the Spirit is poured out into the life of the church. The Spirit is poured out in each one of us so that those who don't know Christ can hear the message of the gospel. So you're here this morning because the Spirit has been poured out in the church, that the church might faithfully proclaim the gospel. You're here this morning, even if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, because the Spirit is working in your mind and your heart, even now, sort of drawing you, convicting you, wooing you unto the Father's heart. You're very much in the Pentecost story because the Spirit is poured out for even you, for each of you. Now, the second way Luke does this is not only by showing that each of them receive the Spirit, each of them hear in their own language the gospel, but then he goes on to quote the prophet Joel beginning in verse 17. And as you look there at verse 17, you'll notice what Joel was talking about is what's happening here at Pentecost. And that day I will pour my Spirit upon whom? All flesh. Each of you over here, and now all flesh, in quoting the prophet Joel. All flesh, young and old, male and female, sons and daughters. Right? Peter says this thing that Joel was talking about, it is happening right here. It is being fulfilled right here at Pentecost. And the truth of that fulfillment is that no one is left out. So listen, you're not too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Building on some of the things we said last week, we need to teach our children and teach our youth that they are filled with the Spirit, that they need to become obedient to the nudges of the Holy Spirit in their life, just like anybody else. Now, being young, we may not have the wisdom, we may not have all the discernment yet, but they are no less filled with the Spirit than anybody else in this sanctuary today. They are filled with the Spirit. You are not too old to be filled with the Spirit. Right? There is no Holy Spirit retirement age. right? At which the Spirit stops leading you and guiding you and calling you into ministry. So the text even promises, right? Joel says, the old men will dream dreams. Now, I know when you get of a certain age, sometimes it's easy to fall asleep in worship. I know that becomes more likely. We'd get more amens to that, but those who would amen that are asleep right now, right? I get it. And some of you have said, it's not about the worship service, it's not about you, it's not about the sermon. It's just when I sit still long enough, I tend to fall asleep. I get it. But according to the text, you might be positioning yourself for the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a vision or in a dream. And when I read the scriptures, most of the time, the Spirit speaking through visions and dreams always speaks something much more adventurous and much more dangerous than anything I'm going to say in a sermon. So sleep at your own risk. All right? Peter goes on to quote Joel and says, your sons and daughters will be filled. Male and female slaves will be filled. And they shall both prophesy. Now, first, let me talk about that word prophesy. Throughout Acts and throughout the New Testament, the word prophesy is not about telling the future. The word prophesy is not about trying to figure out the month and the date when Jesus will return. May God rescue the church from one more person trying to determine the month and the day and establishing a YouTube video or publishing a pamphlet. God rescue us from that. To prophesy is not about trying to figure out which world leader is the Antichrist. To prophesy in the New Testament is simply to declare the gospel of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. It is to declare in such a way that people hear the truth of the gospel. That's what prophesy in the New Testament means. It means that we're becoming what Jesus promised we would become in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then when that power came on high, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we would become the witnesses that Jesus said we would become. But here Peter quotes Joel, and it is abundantly clear, friends, that the Holy Spirit empowers women and men to be these witnesses. Growing from the Pentecost moment, it becomes clear that the Holy Spirit empowers women and men in the life and ministry of the church. Apostolic ministry, missionary ministry, and pastoral ministry. Right? Some want to turn the notion of men and women serving in the life of church, even in ordained roles, into a conservative versus liberal debate. Now, I want you to put those words aside for a moment. In fact, I'd be fine if you put those words aside permanently in the life of the church. Because what we've done with those words is we've allowed our political realities around us to infiltrate and influence the church in terms of what those words mean, conservative and liberal. We've allowed the political realities around us to say, if I'm conservative, it must mean that I have to hate the liberal. If I'm liberal, I have to hate the conservative. And it's tearing apart the body of Christ that is one body. So put those words aside for a minute. And might I suggest a better adjective? Biblical. Biblical. Because it is clear here that the Spirit is being poured out on men and women to fulfill the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. Now, I know about 1 Timothy 2. I've read it. Right? 1 Timothy 2, Paul talks about women not having authority, not teaching over men. But let's at least admit that we need to read that text as carefully as we're trying to read Acts chapter 2 right now. Because in that same text in 1 Timothy 2, it says women ought not to braid their hair or wear any gold jewelry or pearl jewelry or any expensive clothing of any kind. It also says that women will be saved through childbearing. Are we even sure we know what that means in that text? And yet here in Acts chapter 2, we have a very clear and simple text of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where specifically back from the Old Testament in Joel into the New Testament in this moment of Pentecost, it says clearly men and women, sons and daughters, even female men, female slaves and male slaves, they will be filled with the Spirit of God. with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for each of you. Each of you. Nobody is bypassed at Pentecost. So that's the truth I want to remind you of this morning. Now, the second part of that reminder is the challenge to live in the truth you already know. And that's always the harder part. Each of you is filled with the Spirit. Each of you, therefore, listen, is called to live and to proclaim the gospel. Each of you. Each of you. Right? The purpose of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, is to empower the church to share the news of Jesus Christ. To empower the church to tell the story of the one who died and rose again, to tell the story of God's forgiveness, to tell the story of the kingdom of God. Again, Acts 1:8 reminds us that when that power comes upon us, it will empower us to become the witnesses Jesus intends for us to be. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit filling our lives, that includes the way in which we live our lives, conduct our lives, the way in which we treat others, treat our neighbors, the way we handle ourselves at home, at work, at school, and every other place. It's about our sanctification. It's about our holiness. But friends, it always includes the storytelling. To be filled with the Holy Spirit always includes the word of testimony about our faith. It's always more than a silent witness. Always. And I believe we know this to be true. I believe also this is where we struggle. We struggle to tell our testimony of faith, to tell what Jesus has done in our lives, to tell the difference that Christ has made in changing our lives and giving us new direction and hope and setting us on a course toward eternity. We struggle to find that right opportunity, or maybe in our minds it's that perfect opportunity to share about Jesus with someone that we know. Maybe it's because we fear rejection, or we fear looking silly, or we fear getting that question and we don't know the answer. We don't know how to answer that question that trips us up about these grand mysteries of the faith. Maybe it's because we're concerned about looking weird. I mean, I find it funny in Acts chapter 2 that half the crowd there looked at him and thought they were drunk. Again, it's okay sometimes when you read the Bible. You know, sometimes you warm up a crowd with a joke early on. That's the sermon of Pentecost. Peter's like, hey guys, we're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. But they're filled with the Spirit. Maybe we fear being seen as weird, strange in the culture around us. Or maybe we don't fear enough. Maybe we don't believe that God has called us to share the gospel, right? Somebody else, for sure. God is definitely calling others. I mean, God is calling more Billy Grahams, or God is calling the pastor to share the gospel, but not me, not us. That's got to be somebody else. Right? Maybe we don't fear an eternal separation from God for those that we love and those that we know. I know I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of not thinking well enough or often enough of what it means for people around me and people close to me, what it means for them to say no to the gospel or not hear the gospel, to reject that gospel, to reject the news that God loves them, that our sin does indeed separate us from God, but God does not desire that separation to be eternal. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he's poured out the Spirit into the church, that we might be the gospel storytellers for those near and far, those that are close to us, but also those across the world. That's why the Spirit has been poured out into the church. And friends, those that are close to you, there are people that only you can tell. There's people that only you're going to reach. Now, it's not up to you, right? That's the work of the Spirit. It's always up to the person who hears the gospel to receive the gospel and embrace the gospel, right? The work of the Holy Spirit, it's not up to you to change lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not even up to you to convince them by your cleverly arranged presentation. It's the work of the Spirit to convict and to convince and to call people to God. But the work of the Spirit in each of you is to be faithful in the telling of it. To be faithful storytellers You know, one of the storyboards at the Billy Graham Library that we saw a couple weeks ago, as you're walking through the library, it's got all the different displays and stories, but one tells the story of Edward Kimball and how Edward Kimball found the courage to share the gospel with a shoe salesman named D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody accepted the gospel into his life, and D.L. Moody became a very prominent evangelist both in the States and had influence in England as well. His influence reached a man named F.B. Meyer in England. And Meyer's ministry led Wilbur Chapman to Jesus Christ. Chapman then led a former professional baseball player named Billy Sunday to Jesus. Billy Sunday here in the States also had a very prominent evangelist ministry. Mordecai Ham became a Christian under the ministry of Billy Sunday. Mordecai Ham was preaching revival services in our state of North Carolina when in that service a young Billy Graham was present and yielded his life to Jesus Christ. And we know well the ministry of Billy Graham. But back to Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was not a pastor. Edward Kimball was not ordained in any way in the ministry. Edward Kimball was what we call in the church a layperson. Does everybody know what that term layperson means? I don't love the term layperson because, friends, when you are baptized, you become missionaries. Every one of you is a missionary. I'll be preaching about that in the fall, so get ready. Right? But he's a layperson, and he reached out to another layperson, or not even a layperson, a lost person, really, but he reached out to a shoe salesman, D.L. Moody, to share the difference Jesus made in Edward's life. And great things begin to ensue from that simple sharing from one person to another person. Listen, the same spirit that stirred Edward Kimball is stirring in each of you. The same spirit that empowered Peter to preach at Acts chapter 2, to preach the sermon at Pentecost, is the same spirit in you. In fact, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that is alive and at work in each of you. And the Holy Spirit at work in each of you is leading each of you to believe with conviction that you can be the witnesses that Christ is calling you to be. I know we've got a list of reasons why it can't be me. My past, my sins, my history, my fears, my shyness, you name it, whatever it is. But the Spirit is at work in each of you to develop each of you into the witness Jesus has called you to be. So that together, as New Hope Baptist Church, together we are becoming the witnessing community that shares the good news in our neighborhood and to the ends of the earth where God calls us. In each of you, so that together we can be the community that shares the news that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's happening in each of you. Each of you. Let's pray together. Father, what a